Good morning. Good to have you here this morning. Good to have a little bit better weather than last time as we all scrambled trying to figure out what we're going to do last Sunday morning in the snow and ice and all that stuff. We had the righteous remnant here with us, I guess. There were about 80 or so of us here last week filling these two middle sections, and we had a good time of worship together, but totally understood that there were a lot of you that had a hard time getting out in all that weather, and glad you're safe and back here today. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. Hope you'll come back and visit with us again sometime in the future. A couple things to remind you of as we get started. Our men's event coming up on the 23rd. The deadline to buy the basketball tickets has passed, but the deadline to go has not. So you can try to buy your own tickets. I think the link is gone now at this point because they gave us a deadline with the group tickets. We'll be sitting in section 101 if you want to try to come to the game and sit somewhere near us. But if not, and you just want to come be a part of the event and lunch, all that is free of charge, and you can just sign up in the back so we'll have some idea of how much food to cook. And we have a potluck as we're done here tonight, or this morning, followed by our congregational meeting. I don't know if they were thinking congregational meeting when they put the chairs in. A lot easier to throw those than the pews, but... No, I put this up there as a joke because I didn't know what to expect at the first one. We didn't do these in Arkansas. Believe it or not, the state of Arkansas is less complicated than the state of Oregon for whatever reasons, but we didn't have to do these things, and so we never had congregational meetings. I didn't know what to expect at my first one. My wife, when she came here to interview for her job at NCU, actually experienced one before I did, and so when the first one came around last January that I was a part of, I think it was last January, maybe the January before. Got to experience that for the first time, and this is a joke if you're visiting with us. It's really not like this most of the time. So, but if you'd like to come and be a part of that, come hear about what the church is up to, what we're doing. We try to go as fast as we can, but there are things that have to be said and budgets and all of that stuff. So we hope that you will consider coming to be a part of that, and then we'll try to get you out of here as quick as we can as that ends. We really try to make that a positive, non-contentious kind of thing, and I hope you understand that it doesn't take one of these to make a suggestion, that if you have things, ideas throughout the year, your leadership stands waiting to listen, and they get together regularly and gladly have you at any of those times, or just to pull aside and talk for a few minutes or have a cup of coffee or whatever, as long as chairs are not being thrown, we're all good. So we've got that coming up this afternoon. Now, this is one new thing for us because in the past we have done our service and we've done the potluck and we've done the meeting and we are kind of done at that point in the day because everybody's kind of worn down. This is the first time that we've done the meeting as we've been doing life groups simultaneously. And so the life groups are kind of on their own as to what they're doing. I'm pretty sure the one at the building is not meeting, are they? You are meeting. Okay. The one at the building is meeting. I know the Duffields are meeting. I didn't ask Norm. Norm is not meeting, okay? And the Hoffmans, you are the Hoffmans. The Foremans are not meeting. And then you can talk to Tyler and Christina about what they're doing because I don't want to put them on the spot right now. But they can decide. But anyhow, just check with your group and see what they're up to. And it's a long day either way, so... feel free to just enjoy your evening together. All right, if you'd like to flip over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We will begin in verse 13 of James chapter 3. And I want you to keep this question in the back of your mind as we go through these few verses this morning. Who is wise? Who is wise? And I would imagine for each of us, you might have someone in mind who is wise. I will tell you right now who I have just noticed is not wise, and that is me or whoever did not notice that the battery is dead on that clock. I can preach as long as I want. This is great. I'm going to, for your safety, I'm going to put my phone right there so I can tap it from time to time and see where we're at, because I don't want to go until life groups start tonight. Who is wise? And I don't know how you decide in your mind what wisdom is. I think a definition I heard of wisdom early on in life was knowledge put into practice. And I think James will move in that direction throughout this section. But we know a lot of people who know a lot of stuff. We know a lot of people who know a lot of facts. Sometimes those facts are worthwhile. Sometimes those facts are not as worthwhile. For instance, aboard, about, above, across, after, against, along, amid, among, around, at. Before, behind, below, beneath, beside, between, beyond, but, by, down, during, except, for, from, in, and to, like, near, of, off, on, over, past, since, through, throughout, with, within, without. Okay, I did not, yeah, thank you. I did not, before I got up here, try that because I was curious what would happen. That is the fifth grade list of prepositions from my English book in the fifth grade. Ryan James and I, Ryan records the audio for the Regency Church of Christ in Mobile, Alabama, and is probably done with that this morning. He and I decided as fifth graders, because we were nerds, that we would see who could memorize those faster. And we would battle back and forth to see who could say them faster. And because of that, it is still up there stuck. It is knowledge of prepositions that is handy from time to time, but I don't know that I would call that wisdom. And I could rattle off things like that that are meaningless to you. And I think a lot of us could rattle off meaningless ideas. Now, where it gets a little more scary is sometimes we can also rattle off things that are meaningful. A lot of us know a lot of Scripture. I would put the Staley crew up against most anybody for knowledge of Scripture and the willingness to and the ability to quote and quote and quote and quote. But for each of us who may know a lot of Scripture, what are we doing with it? Is it another thing we know? Is it the preamble to the Constitution? Is it those kinds of things? Or is it something that we are putting into practice? And as James takes us into this idea of who is wise, keep that in mind, what we do with the wisdom that we have. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Let them show it in a good life. And I think as you start to think of who lives the good life, maybe your thought of wisdom begins to change a little bit. Now, if you go home after this, and hopefully you're not keeping track on your phone right now, but if you go home after this and you sit down and watch a football game, you will see many, many commercials telling you what the good life is. And it will not look much like anything we're going to talk about here today. Our world has convinced us that the good life deals in things. Our world has convinced us that the good life deals in some kind of unbelievable experiences that have nothing to do with God, by the way. Our world will convince us that good life has to do with whether your numbers are picked this coming Wednesday. Our world has convinced us that all these things, the car you drive, the house you live in, all of this stuff is the good life. And James would say, no, the good life is something different than that, and the good life has to do with humility. Because he says back here in the verse that we just read, let them show it by the good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And as you think about the idea of humility and wisdom, I think a lot of the people that we have met along the course of time that have knowledge don't always seem all that humble about their knowledge. Seems like they're happy to let you know what they know. And they're happy to let you know that they know more than you do. And that what you know is not what you thought it was. The wisdom that James is talking about not only comes through the life that we live, but through the humility in which we live it. Are we people who are humble? Or do we stay away from humility because of how easily that gets you stepped on in our world today? And he continues. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. If you harbor. Now, I have made no secret about the fact that our family loves the coast. We were landlocked in Arkansas for a very long time, and the coast to us was Heber Springs Lake, Greer's Ferry Lake up in Heber Springs, where they had built a dam at some point, and you could go out on your boat there, and they even had a couple of beaches that they had put in. That was the coast. Then we got here, and we realized a whole different coast, and the first time we went over, we fell in love with the Oregon coast. And I've had to laugh recently. I have a good friend, Pat Barber, who preached in Wichita, Kansas, about as more landlocked than Arkansas was. They don't even have a lake there. They have a sewage drainage thing that goes through the middle of town. There's no beach on that. And he has just recently taken a job in Manchester, Connecticut as the preacher there. And they moved across the country, took about 5 or 6 days to do it, just like we did. And the first pictures I saw of them from Manchester, Connecticut were their family on the Atlantic beach. And I commented on it and I said, you are experiencing what we are experiencing. You now have coast. One of our favorite places to go on the coast is Depot Bay. And if you've not been over to Depot Bay, get there. You can go over to Florence and drive north for a bit. You can go over to Newport and drive north a little bit less. When you run into Depot Bay, you find this sign on the bridge. Depot Bay is the world's, or at least they claim to be, the world's smallest harbor. And this is what it looks like from overhead. There is ocean, there is this little opening in the rocks that you get in, and then there's this little tiny harbor there. And the purpose of the harbor is that if you were to dock your boats out where you see those white caps, this is a gentle day on the coast in Depot Bay. We have also seen days, and I almost put the video in here because the last time we went over there, it was crazy, and the waves were breaking enough that you could feel the spray up on the edge of the road there where you could park your car. And I thought, if you had a boat out in that, that'd be an unpleasant day. And so you've got this harbor you can go into, which is a safe place to dock your boats. Now think there, in the sense of harbor, about what James says. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, you are giving this envy and ambition a place to comfortably exist. Now, I don't think any of us would consciously do that. But I think sometimes in the life that we live, we do. The life that we live sometimes causes envy to take root in us. And we look so much to those around us and the things that we want and the things we desire, and we get focused in on that. Or we have ambition about us. I put the joking picture of the congregational meeting up there earlier. One of the commentaries I was reading here about James talked about the idea of how this could take root in churches, the idea of selfish ambition. And that we can have ambition walking into a meeting like this of something I want to see happen. And I'm going to build myself a little coalition of people that want that same thing. And when this meeting comes up, we are going to take over. And I will admit to you, when I heard congregational meeting before I ever came here, I had these kinds of images in mind, because these are the things you hear about. You hear about meetings that went awry and meetings that went crazy. And if we don't have ourselves in check, it could very easily become that. It can become a platform of who shouts the loudest. It can become a place of, how am I going to get my thing that I want done my way? And James would say to us, even within a church setting, we don't want to have selfish ambition. We don't want to have bitter envy. We don't want to be people who allow those things to take a safe harbor within our hearts. And so when we run across those things in our lives, we can't just step back and say, oh, that's fine. I'll try to do my best to control that, but it's okay, it's there. We need to get that out of the harbor. Continuing, such wisdom, and I like the wisdom. Such wisdom, which isn't really wisdom at all, does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Now, we don't talk angels and demons a lot nowadays. We actually, if you were not here for class this morning, we talked about the devil in class. We don't have those conversations much because in our minds, for me, for the rest of time, the devil is the guy in the illustrated Bible storybook that I had as a child. And I can remember turning to that page that had the devil on it and the red suit and the pitchfork and the pointy tail and just thinking this mixture between evil and comic book almost. He's very real and he's very active. And James tells us when we try to have this kind of wisdom that is built around envy and ambition, we're allowing the devil to take root. And that wisdom is something that the demons would do, not something that we as Christians should be doing. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. There you find disorder, and I believe in both senses of the word. You have disorder in the sense that nowadays in America in 2016, I wonder if I got it right on my check. Now in America in 2016, everything's a disorder. Some of those things are probably completely scientifically, medically real. Some of those things you look at and you wonder. This kind of heart about us is a disorder within us. But not only that, it causes disorder. It causes things to not run in a smooth way. It causes strife. I have been amazed coming here to work in Eugene. The elders meetings here are unlike any elders meeting I've been a part of before. Now, part of that being, I came from 13 elders. And 13 elders is a little different than 3 or 4. Now, part of that being, and I had a friend, by the way, that worked with 37. I always wondered what those meetings were like and was glad I didn't know. I was amazed when I came into the first meeting and we sat down and we talked about things that we were able to just sit down and talk about things. I came from a world of Robert's Rules of Order, and there were motions and seconds and calls to questions and all of those things that you do in the orderly business meeting time. And I was amazed that we could sit down with three or four men or five men, and we could just talk about the work of the church, and there was order in it. There was not grandstanding, there was not yelling, there was not people getting red in the face, there was not people getting up and throwing their chairs, any of that stuff. It was just orderly and good, and I think it develops out of this. The fact that we are not driven by envy, ambition, we are driven by the things of God. And when we are not, the disorder comes. And I think we can see that in our own lives. Continuing on. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Oh, is that all? That's quite a list of things. It's from heaven, which is why it starts to sound an awful lot like two other lists we find in Scripture. Love is patient, love is kind, does not boast, does not keep a record of wrongs. We know what love is from 1 Corinthians 13, even though we put it in the context of the wedding all the time. It's actually about how we're supposed to live life. And then we know that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these are the things that are of the Spirit. So when we live in the way that we're supposed to live, that kind of wisdom looks like those things because it's built in love and it is guided by the Spirit. And so as you see that wisdom developing in life, that wisdom comes from heaven. And as we close, it's interesting to me. Oh, I'm ahead of schedule. No clock might be good. Maybe we should leave the battery out. It's interesting to me, as we get to this verse, the first time I read through James 3, I immediately think to myself, okay, when James wrote this down in Greek, there were no chapter headings, there were no verse numbers, there were no chapter numbers. Does this belong in chapter 4? Because peacemakers just came out of nowhere. We were talking about order and wisdom and things of God and things of the devil. And then he says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So why peacemakers as the end of this section? And I believe it to be this. What you need in the meeting with chairs flying and punches being thrown is peacemakers. What you need when bitter envy and selfish ambition begin to surface is peacemakers. What you need when the wisdom that people have is not a wisdom that's coming from heaven, but a wisdom that is coming from earthly things is peacemakers. And what you will see in all of those circumstances is who people really are. Are we going to be people that try to escalate the conflict? Or are we going to be people that try to make peace? Are we going to be people that are concerned about my way and my thing? Or are we going to be people that are trying to make peace? Are we going to be people that are concerned about trying to be right factually? Or are we going to be people who are making peace? And James says that all of this wisdom, if misused, doesn't matter. But all of this wisdom, if it draws us closer to God and closer to each other and makes us into people who desire peace instead of strife, then we're on to something. That's why I left that first congregational meeting pretty happy about life, because I thought to myself, that could have been something totally different. And instead, it was something where God was honored, something where people were concerned about the church, was something where people wanted us to grow as a family in number and in a depth of our relationship with God, people that want to live in peace. And this morning, I think a lot of us probably live lives that don't really look all that peaceful. And a lot of times, not for any intention of our own. It's just kind of the way things seem to go. We find ourselves in the midst of strife, whether it's disagreements within the family, whether it's just a tough workplace that you're a part of. I hope that strife is not here, but for some of us, maybe it's here. And James would say, wisdom leads us away from those things and towards God. And if you look at yourself and you say, don't feel very wise sometimes, I am right there with you. Because oftentimes I know what the right thing to do is, but I just don't always do it. I know what the right thing to say is, or maybe more importantly, what the right thing not to say is, but I can't keep my mouth shut. I think for each of us, our prayer this morning could be for more wisdom, for the understanding that it's not driven by the things of this world, but driven by the things of God. And this morning, if that sounds like a good life to you, it is. There's a reason that God laid this life out for us the way he did. He's the one who designed you. He knows how you were made to live. And because of that, he wants you to live in the best way that you can. If you'd like to be a part of his family this morning, like Carl talked about, be baptized into him, to wear his name, we'd love to see that happen today. If there's something we can pray about in your life, if there's something you need to confess, whatever need you may have, please come as we stand and sing.